You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
I could be the driver in articulated lorry. I could be a poet, I wouldn't need to worry. I could be a teacher in a classroom full of scholars. I could be the sergeant in a squadron full of wallers. What a waste. What a waste. What a waste. What a waste. Because I chose to play the fool in a six-piece band. First nine nerves.
Welcome to Axe to Grind, the hardcore podcast. I'm Patrick.
I'm Bob.
And I'm Tom.
And gentlemen, I'm in another English city that I don't know how to pronounce. I am in another travel lodge. So to our listeners, if at any point I sound like I'm from the movie Tron, it's because the upload speed is 1 megabyte.
Wow.
Yeah, 1 fucking megabyte. It's a miracle that I can see you guys on the fucking Zoom. We got a lot to talk about today.
We do.
It's a bit, it is 1 a.m. here, and that's not a problem for me, but out of respect for my roommate, I'm going to keep us pushing.
Yeah, we're going to be tight. Let's get it. Let's get it. Guys, yo, really quick, first things first, let's say a quick thank you to our sponsors, To Live a Lie.
Boom.
Run for Cover.
Boom.
Death Wish Inc.
Boom.
And Closed Casket Activities.
Oh, boom.
All right, we're going to do two quick ones today in the interest of everything that is going on. It is a heavy show today, guys. Let's start with Closed Casket Activities. CloseCasketActivities.com on July 7th. So that's not today, not tomorrow. The End Cult Leader Split 12-inch entitled Gather and Mourn is being co-released by Closed Casket and Death Wish. I don't know if we're even supposed to talk about it. So some of this might be redacted. We'll see. We're going to have to message our dude. Seems like he was good with it. We'll see. Yeah. But if not, you might have just heard this message and it goes beep and beep, split 12
on beep
and beep. But this is Closed Casket Activities. You know it's good. Two heavy bands, slightly different types of heavy. And I think that's cool. You're going to want to get over to closecasketactivities.com, order that split 12 inch by and Cult Leader.
Nasty.
Boom. Let's swing it over to Death Wish. Tom, you got lead on this one?
Sure. So usually, you know, sometimes we'll go into the artwork section in the Death Wish on their website because they have so much beautiful art in addition to all the music. So I wanted to specifically bring attention to an artist named Justin Bartlett. He's done a bunch of album covers. He's suffering with cancer and he's got a store up on the Death Wish website. He's also got a GoFundMe that you can find there, but he's got a bunch of stuff on the Death Wish web store and it's fucking all awesome stuff. I think you've seen the stuff before and now you can actually attribute it to someone's name. Like I can recognize his style. His shit is awesome. He's got a few
outrageously talented,
incredible. Artists. He's got what I think is pretty fucking a glow in the dark shirt from The Thing, the movie The Thing.
Oh,
which is pretty amazing. But there's a bunch of stuff on there. So if you want to help somebody out who's going through some shit, if you go to deathwishinc.com/collections and then his art name is, I'm going to spell it out because there's no, it's actually probably Uber Cult.
Uber Cult.
But switch out the U's for V's. So it's Weber Kvalt.
Yes. So
and the general name cult is just,
Uber Cult, switch the U's for V's. Right. And it's for
Justin Bartlett. And it's on deathwish.com.
Deathwishinc.com. Support all our sponsors. Thank you. Yo, Tom, I think we need to dust off the horns. I don't know if you got them lying around right there, but bring out the horns for us. Patrick, you are in England. Bust out the much smaller, weirder sounding horn.
Can you give us like the 9-1, like the whatever the police sound like in Europe?
Oh, yeah. Did you like
that? It's kind of more pleasant and kind of more obnoxious.
Yeah, somehow both those things at once. Something very pleasant, hopefully not obnoxious at all. Guys, Thursday, July 28th, 2022, presented by our friends at Sound and Fury Festival and Brain Dead, 7 p.m. at Brain Dead Studios, a podcast party featuring Overnight Drive.
Ooh, boom, boom, boom.
Quit Your Band While You Still Can. Wow. And yours truly, Axe to Grind.
Wow.
Bow, bow, bow. Our fucking debut.
First live performance by the Axe to Grind trio. Very exciting.
We sound like
really
a jazz.
Excited.
We do some jazz. I do some talking.
The Axe to Grind trio might be when we actually, that's Patrick on drums, Tom. You are on
mouth bass,
standing up bass.
Yeah, there we go. And I will grab a saxophone. And we are going to be improvisational, hardcore jazz. Everybody, we're so excited about this. Been in the works for a while. We've been thinking about doing it live. Also, I think we're going to have a little guest MC by the one and only Eric Wilson. Oh, I told him I want him to get ready, kind of work on his tight five. Let's see what he's got. He suggested reading from the USA Sex Guide. I said, keep it local so you can really thrill our attendees. It's going to be super fun. Are you guys amped?
Very excited.
Yeah, I am. It should be fun. For people that haven't been to shit like this, live podcasts are actually really fun. It might sound like that's just more people talking. It is, but it's typically
interactive.
It's an involving thing when you actually witness it live. It's a pretty cool fucking thing.
Right. It's probably the best way to do a podcast, like to be able to do a podcast live and have people like either like know some of the things that we do to yell back at us.
Or
be involved in the games or in the jokes and stuff. Like that's what you do in your car. Now you can do it in person. You could see Pat try to figure out like putting two band names together in real time. You can see the smoke.
So listen,
you can see the smoke in a lot of ways on this one. We'll see that.
So I just played a number of shows and one really big festival. And anytime that somebody saw me when I wasn't hiding, somebody approached me and gave me a really sincere thank you for what we do. And it was, you know, Tom, you're out in the streets. You know, I'm
get outside. This sort
of feedback a lot. I'm not
to an extent. Yeah.
I don't go to the shows. Well, I end up at a lot of shows per year, but I'm able to hide. And it was really within a few days of each other, I had the exact opposite extremes. So I had a 45-year-old man tell me that he had essentially packed hardcore up and it didn't have a big place in his life. And then due to us, he is exposed to a whole bunch of young people shit that he wasn't plugged into before. And as a result, he was at a huge hardcore festival that's 99% young and active bands. And then the other extreme was a kid who, I mean, he looked like a high schooler to me. He said that he was grateful that we were plugging him into old people shit that, he was really honest. I told him, I said, hey, like, don't feel like, you know what we say on the podcast, don't feel like you got to know this shit. You know what I mean? Like it's elective.
It's opt in. Yeah.
And he said, no, listen, when you're, it's jarring. That's the word he uses. It's jarring to listen to 80s hardcore because it's just coming from such a different place, but it is so easy to nerd out on. And
yeah,
I think that there's something to that. Like maybe at first, and this is what he said, basically at first you don't have the visceral connection that you might have to the stuff of your own era.
Yep.
But by by having an academic interest in it, stuff starts to creep up on you and get you really excited. So I got a few, probably a dozen people saying something to me, but it was nice to have those two extremes. So
yeah, well, I hope that those
two extremes show up to the live show.
Yes. We hear that stuff. It's amazing. We're really excited.
What's the date of that again, Bob?
It is Thursday, July 28th at 7 p.m. at the Brain Dead Studios.
I've heard awesome stuff about that place.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be awesome.
It's on Fairfax.
Yes. That's right.
Look at me.
So look at you. So shout out to everyone who supported us. It's a kind of cool big moment for us. We're pretty happy. It should be really fun. If you think it's fun listening, it'll be even more fun if you can get involved. We're figuring out how wild we're going to get. Also, big shout out to Overnight Drive, of course, and Quit Your Band While You Still Can. I haven't seen Taylor in a minute, and that's a dude I really love. And I know it's him, and I think it's Jake Clark as well. Those dudes are awesome. So I can't wait for it. Sure. There are tickets. Tickets should be available right now. Right now. So go get them. I'm not sure how big Brain Dead Studios is, but if you want to go, grab a ticket. We very much appreciate that, and we look forward to seeing you. Shout out to that. Shout out to the good energy that everyone's brought to us from day one with this. It's overwhelming. It's cool. And if we can really peel the curtain back, we look around sometimes and see other projects, whether it's bands, people doing stuff in hardcore around it, other things. And sometimes they get weird energy and, we don't know why exactly, but people are really cool to us, almost unilaterally. And it just really, really means a lot to us. So thank you. We hope to see you in LA. As you all know, Tom lives in Queens. I live about an hour and 40 minutes south of there at the Jersey Shore. Patrick lives about a 23-hour flight away from us in Perth, Australia. So we're not sure how often we'll be able to do this thing. This may be the one and only time we do it. Who knows? We hope not, but we love you all and we hope we see you there. So commercial over.
Go to Sound and Fury. Buy tickets.
Go to Sound and Fury. We'll have a link up whenever this is posted on our socials, and they'll have one up on their socials too. Sweet. So thank you to those guys. Thanks to you, Brain Dead. Infinite love. Really quick. We just yapped a lot. Let's give a little love to our friends. Patrick, I want you to name your favorite city in Idaho as well as where they are.
Oh, that would be Boise, which is undoubtedly on top.
Boise on top. Shout out to Rejection Pack. This is an Axe to Grind exclusive. Song is Hired Guns. We're the Hired Guns. It is Hired Goons.
That's us too.
Yeah, we're Hired Goons, Hired Guns. It's all the same. But the Rejection Pack song is Hired Goons. It's off their two-song promo 2022. Previewing their upcoming LP, Can We Wait? Out on Safe Inside Records. Please take a look at it. The promo is available this week. Should be out on July 8th. So go order that. Check out the song right now.
Without even thinking.
Bam.
Oh, all right, guys. How you doing? How you feeling?
You know, 1 a.m. at a travel lodge. What could be better?
Tom, how you doing? How you feeling?
I'm going to refrain from yelling at Patrick. And I'm going to say I'm fine. Work's been work week was rough.
Well,
11 p.m. at a travel lodge probably would have been better, but you know.
Well,
sometimes he lies.
Oh.
Only to guys. He only lies to me. And to
you know what? There's something so brutal about having as little control over your life as I currently do. That's like, this is like a deeply frustrating thing. I'm sure many people have experienced this with like their romantic partners or their job or whatever, where you're responsible for like 15 people that you can't corral because they're all maladjusted hardcore kids. And like,
that's just general, that's human beings.
I mean, that's true. But like, I bet if this was the Army Reserve,
a youth ministry.
Yeah. I bet if this was my youth ministry, I could probably herd the cats a little bit more effectively.
Well, I mean, when you were like, hey, we're playing and we're going to, you know, we're going to a hotel close to the airport. We'll get there like 11 o'clock our time, like 6 o'clock your time. In my head, I was like, there's not a shot of that happening.
You proved true.
Because I was like, there's no way, even if he's playing second out of three or four, whatever it is, by the time he finishes, not everyone's going to leave at the same time.
Right.
You're not going to load up your merch and settle and everything and just head out early.
No, we even did this. We even did the stupid band's photo thing before.
Oh, so the tour's over.
Yeah. Before the show started. So it really, it was like, did as much as I could do here. It's fucking.
Right. Just, I mean, 11 o'clock was super. Yeah. I mean, there's no shot.
Optimistic.
Yes. Yeah. Like, yeah, well, you know, I was like, this dude's got to finish playing, settle up, get everything together, say goodbye to everybody, and then drive an hour.
Yep.
No shot. Not a shot.
No shot.
We appreciate the effort.
The effort is appreciated.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Pat, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, of course.
Why are you sharing a room with an English person?
So our driver, he's in the shower currently, but he'd be an interesting guy to speak to because he's kind of the opposite of the listeners that I just detailed. He is of an era and unapologetically of that era where he like kind of just is very informed on probably like 2010 and
okay.
And very distant and just listening to ABBA otherwise. Like, so he's listening to like all of the stuff that would have been. So our English listeners will know what I'm talking about. England and apparently Australia had these big booms in the Bridge Nine era.
Yeah. Like, Swans and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Miles away.
Yeah.
And for a lot of people that's like hardcore was kind of at its biggest. Now, a lot of our listeners are into different types of hardcore, et cetera. They might disagree with this, but listen, it's just a fact. You know what I mean? Like, as far as like getting kids to shows, getting kids interested in stuff, it was a really big era. Like the Death Wish, there was a Death Wish boom. There was a Bridge Nine boom. There was just a lot of excitement. A lot of bands playing, and it went overseas and it kind of transmogrified in some ways. It's not exactly the same thing. Like certainly the English people, it's not just Dead Swans. England had this kind of more like heavier, more aggressive scene that wouldn't have fit on either of the two labels that I just said. Yep. That had a lot of energy around it for a long time. And then interestingly, you know, sometimes when it goes away, it goes away. Like one of the bands, I won't say them because I don't, you know, I don't know these people, but he was saying, yeah, they were, you know, they were kind of a thing. We saw them, you know, every third weekend and it was fucking awesome and blah, blah. And I said, where are they now? He goes, after their last show, nobody saw any of them ever again. And there's kind of a lot of that, you know? But he's an interesting fellow to talk to because he's that was his era. He was booking shows. He was driving. He was doing everything during that time. And then, is otherwise listening to ABBA, you know?
Yeah. I was just curious life. That you were like that cheap that you're like splitting a room with like a stranger.
Oh no.
Yeah, don't act like you're above that.
No. I stayed in at the airport. I stayed in one of the, wherever the fuck I was on my last.
Kuala Lumpur?
Maybe it was Kuala Lumpur. Was I in Singapore before? Anyway, where the fuck I landed that other time. You had your option between hotel and hostel at the airport, and the hostel, like you could, I mean, the guy farting next to you is farting next to you. Like it's a proper.
You're an adult though. You go hotel.
Yeah. Tom, I actually totally would have, but it was that particular one was sold out. And I just said, you know, okay. I'm not, and I'm kind of in the same situation for people that care about Patrick's travel log. I'm going to Kuala Lumpur and have to do an overnight.
Yeah.
And the airport hotel is like five times more expensive than if I just leave the grounds. Don't know. I gotta weigh it.
I mean, this is how you figure out a new angle on your social media. Patrick's log, stardate 8/20/20. I am in the Kuala Lumpur airport again. I am sleeping on the floor. I have opted against the hotel or hostel. No foreign bodies appear to be violent yet. Signing off.
I mean, the future is written. That's
right. You're a Vulcan mind.
So Patrick, I don't have any bones to pick with you. I actually have a,
I got a few to break.
I got a care check for you.
Oh,
you might know the city's talking. We taking notes. Heard you've been grumpy on tour.
Oh my.
You did not hear that. I have not been grumpy on tour.
I heard that Patrick's been grumpy on tour. Unquote.
And we have a few friends on the inside that
you got moles
that have crossed paths with you in the last 10 days. So it's feasible.
We got ears everywhere, brother. I'm checking. I'm just making sure. Would you characterize yourself as having been grumpy on tour?
Not remotely. Mm. Not remotely. These people ain't ever needed to see Patrick grumpy. Patrick gets grumpy three times a year max, and he tries desperately not to make it somebody else's problem. So,
okay.
I would say
I'm not buying it.
Oh, listen, they call me Even Keel Kinlan. You know what I mean? That's just who I am. I'm not trying to hurt anybody else's mood at all. So,
okay.
You've been lied to. You've been
okay. It's hoodwinking. Okay.
Yeah, all promulgating false ideas.
Well. As long as you're willing to testify to a lack of grumping. We talked a lot about our upcoming live show. We got a lot of other stuff moving around. It's like an active ass time in hardcore. So shout out to everything that's happened. We'll get into that a little later. Why don't you give us a little summary of your non-grumpy tour? Because you were over there with Angel Dust and Anxious. You played Outbreak Fest, looked like a complete smash. For your band, but then also overall just looked just righteous. So why don't you give us some highlights? But there's also a dark lining to this otherwise golden cloud, which was fest style. Every single band was either in the UK or mainland Europe. And that meant there were a lot of shows stealing a lot of seats.
Yeah. So first shout out to Outbreak, remarkably well put together fest. Had a great time. I didn't hear any complaints out of anybody. People were just on a high about the whole fucking thing. It was just a good time. I thought that our set was really good, but I was comparing it to Fiddlehead's set. Mm. And Pat was comparing Fiddlehead's set to ours. And we both felt like the other, got the bigger pop. Mm-hmm. I feel like theirs started more hectic and ours ended more hectic, but I would have liked that first song, first note sort of pop that they got.
Isn't anyway. That so nice and so cool? Obviously building to something is fun too, but when you open big, damn, feels
good. What song do you open with, Pat?
We open with Grubby just because I want to set the tone of like, hey, this is going to be a high energy fucking one. I'm not trying to sing. Let's do
what's
this.
Okay. Well, like, what's the song that you could legitimately open with and it'd be like, all right, now it's on and popping?
We could probably go with one of the bouncy ones, like the World Impact or Bliss Out. And Bliss Out would probably set the
Bliss Out's a good opener. Million Miles of Fun.
Yeah, Million Miles would work.
You can't open with Weed Pen, right?
So good. Why don't you tease it?
Because is that too big of a hit? You got to close with that.
Yeah. So it's funny. At the show tonight, a girl keeps yelling, "Weed Pen, please play Weed Pen." And
we're not gonna do it.
Yeah, I said I think our most popular song will probably make it into the set. Thank you. listen, the fest was fucking great. And here's the thing. Well, first, let me follow up on that Fiddlehead thing. I witnessed a thing I never saw before at a show, which is interesting. I haven't been to a lot of shows in my life. It's always nice to be surprised. Mm-hmm. I saw somebody. So Pat uses a mic stand, and I saw somebody skank between the gap between Pat and the mic stand.
Wow.
And I'd never seen that at a show before.
Most impressive.
Pat's not that tall.
No,
his arms aren't that long. No.
This kid really threaded the needle.
That's cool. It looked wild from like noon till the end. Like no one got that. Like, oh man, those poor bastards.
No, I mean, Scowl played early on whatever the last day, I guess. And it looked great. Anxious's set was early on. I guess that's Sunday. It looked like a full room. It was awesome.
Yeah. And what we were talking about, I think it might've been on one of the Patreons. Zobalba played in front of like an arena sized amount of people.
Yeah. So
that was ridiculous. I saw like a video from maybe one of the incendiary dudes. Like, I guess there was like a vantage point that you could see the crowd and the stage like full, like all in one.
I love it.
Kind of fell swoop. And it was just like, oh, there's like thousands and thousands of people watching Zobalba right now.
Yeah.
I mean, so fucking cool.
It was, I've been doing the cheap pop on this tour since then, just as
like the Mick Foley, when you bring up the town's name,
I do that, but I can't say these fucking towns right. We played a place called Wolverton. Yeah, but you don't say the T, which is
Wolverine.
Wolverine. But
Slytherin.
look, some of these people are like worse than Philadelphians, but the point is that we okay. So the festival itself, really good time. I heard they're switching venues. I don't know. I don't think I'm saying anything out of school. I heard they're switching venues. That seems a little crazy to me because this was the perfect, in my view, this was a perfect venue.
Do they go bigger next year is what you're saying?
That's what I've heard. They can write us and correct us if that's the case. But
it'd be really interesting. Be really interesting because the venue looked big. Yeah. I was hearing somewhere in the range of 6,000 people. Looked awesome, and it looked like that. To be honest, nobody needs to count bodies, but that was a lot of people in that room.
During Turnstile, I was up in one of those balconies, and I looked to the back of the room. The last person in the room is singing along.
Yeah.
It was a full crowd of thousands who were Turnstile heads. Look, I had people say shit to me like, oh, I'm tired, but I can't miss Turnstile. I think it's going to be a religious experience. I've toured with Turnstile. These dudes are fucking great every night, but I'm not giving anything religious experience. It was as close as you're going to get to that at a show. It was fucking great. I cannot take a fucking thing away from it. It was really impressive. The band has kind of graduated into like doing a proper performance. They got no real production to speak of. So it's not like if you're like me and you're a little turned off by that shit, it, Turnstile's not going to offend you. It's not like that.
They're not doing explosions and like blowing up fucking.
Nah, no, no tiger laser eye shit, but, but they have maximized the way that you would reach an audience and connect with an audience that is really big. So for example, they essentially do like a full verse a cappella before they start a song.
Right.
And what that does is it has the entire crowd singing along before the first note.
Ugh.
And it is truly perfect showmanship. Like, look.
You know, and a cool thing from that, like just on a side before, because I wanted to let you finish on this. That's kind of like coming from a hardcore thing, but doing it their own way. You know what I mean, Tom? That's
we
do. If it's like a youth crew thing, like, oh, we're gonna talk, and then I'm gonna yell the name of this song real loud, or I'm gonna read the first line. It's a Ray Capo thing, but like them doing that on the scale and the scope of who they're playing to, it's amazing. It's and I mean, yo, by the way, there's a part of me reticent to go on and on about Turnstile here, but yo, I don't think hardcore's seen anything like what Turnstile's doing right now. Period.
No, I confirmed. I'm putting that in the world. Is it confirmed? You're witnessing a completely different thing. And look, my 8.5-year-old future stepson asked his mother, "Can we go for a ride?" I asked her how he was doing. And she said, he asked me to go for a car ride today. And I said, sure, honey. And he said, and listen to Turnstile.
That's cool.
That's an 8-year-old. And that's not my influence, by the way. So
can you go home and be like, hey, son,
that's fucking crazy.
How's the Turnstile? You went in the Turnstile. You can do like, you could be the meme. Did you bring home a shirt?
No, I did not. Fuck.
You're going to have to make that work.
Fuck.
Go stop at a fucking HMV. They got those in fucking UK, right?
Fuck, I wasn't even thinking that.
We'll figure out.
Come on.
We'll figure out getting you some Turnstile gear.
Yo, I'm really wrestling with the fact that I'm a fundamentally selfish person. It's finally
hitting you.
It's really been bad out here, fellas. Like I'm realizing shit like that. It's just so stupid. Like some.
Yo, it's a rewiring of your brain because
truly
for a partner, there's a different feeling, but with a kid, it's a. It is a rewiring. You got to like stop. Like, yo, you know what I don't love doing? Giving someone the last bite of my food. Do you know who wants that all the time? My child. I'm a good share with food, whatever. But like, yo, I'm about to take the last bite of my sandwich. Literally, it's going to my mouth. Oh, can I have that? Can I have a bite? I'm like, here you go. You just got to do it.
What do they call that? Like, they call it like a dog. You're like, he's very food protective or something. Like,
oh no, yeah, you're right. It's
food motivated.
Well, we're all food motivated. But I mean that festival's great. I was gonna say that whole like thank you for letting me be myself thing is such like a perfect. I don't know how like I don't know if we give them enough credit to think that they have that much like forethought.
I mean they're like ending a fucking not dumb people, I'll say.
No, I'm not saying, but to be able to finish a set with like everyone screaming, thank you for letting me be myself in 2022.
Yeah.
All right. Here's my one thing. Watching videos, and this is just my own psychotic weirdness in my head, and neither of you will agree with me, but I'm going to say it anyway.
I'm going to pre-agree. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or, are they going to say it? Yes, vegan and veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. You can get chef prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can go back to doing what you love this spring, maybe gardening. No fuss, no mess meals. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. That is the type of meal I prefer. They're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. Now, I'd like you to head to factormeals.com/axetogrind50. That's numeral 50. And use code axetogrind50. That's numeral 50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's insane. That's code axetogrind50 at factormeals.com/axetogrind50. That's to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Crazy.
So Brendan wears like cropped shirts.
Yeah.
And watching it, it gives me such anxiety because my whole life has been spending time making sure that my shirt doesn't creep up.
Oh, yeah.
As a man of larger carriage.
Tom,
watching that dude, like his whole fucking, I mean, he's got like 10 packs. So it's like, whatever.
Yeah.
But I always go, dude, your shirt's long. Like, dude, your shirt.
Tom, yes. you and I are ill-advised to let a shirt run up. He's free.
Oh no. Yeah. But it was just like it was my own like trigger that I'm like,
oh yeah.
Cause I've seen larger band dudes that like, oh, your shirt's creeping, bro. Like that you got to feel it. You can't feel good about it.
Sure. That. Sure. Sure. Yeah.
Like I've literally have worn, you know what I mean? Like I've made all, like arrangements to make sure that never happens.
I hear you. So sorry. The cheap pop that I was talking about earlier was on this tour. Since then, I asked the crowd, was anybody at Outbreak, to everyone's
credit. Of course they were. Yeah.
Yeah, like, exactly. Like for people that don't get it, like it's not a big island. You know what I mean?
Like every hardcore kid was there.
Yeah. Virtually every hardcore kid was there. So it was very, very impressive to do shows for days before and days after and have anybody come to our shows. Really impressive. I was happy with it, but I've been asking people from the stage, what'd you enjoy? You know what I mean? Which is in some ways a cheap pop and in some ways just completely failing exercise because people yell at the same time and they have these fucking silly accents where I can't understand fucking where they're saying.
Right.
But, people said Incendiary had a fucking awesome set.
Looked insane.
Tonight people said Scowl was great, which Bob confirmed early played an early set and fucking killed it. I talked to a kid for a long time about Zabalba because, you know, like we talked about, we expressed that to us, it felt a little bit early. Mm. He confirmed that it fucking truly hit, but which by the way, everybody, I know this is kind of the point of the podcast and we don't need to reiterate this. It's really life affirming to have people talk to me about music in a way where it's clear that they connected in a major way. I had a kid just,
how nice.
It was so nice. I had a kid talk to me about a thing that we've talked about, which is how many people probably avoid that Touche record about the passing of his mother. And that he confirmed, he's like, I can't listen to it. But I really needed to see it live. And it was about as affecting as it gets. I was he's like, I was choking up the entire time. And it was just really nice to speak to people that were having a visceral and emotional response to music. But
real quick on that, because you just said something really cool. There's a lot of energy on places on the internet, different social media, et cetera, whatever, where people almost feel like they can't show that love to a thing. And like if you show that unambiguous, just love panting like a dog, this means something to me. Someone's going to point and laugh and, you know, haha, you know, and fuck that, man. Yo, life's too short. Love things. Have things mean some shit to you because that's the moments, man. That's if you want my take on hardcore, when you get those moments at a show, nothing can compare, period.
We would say you got your money's worth for sure.
Jesus.
Which, by the way, I know I've talked about this, but if I would say 80% of people that approach me that would like a photo with me say, hey, I'm sorry. I know this is corny or whatever. And I always go, or they always say, is this weird? And I always say, I'm grateful anybody likes what I do at all. No, it's not that weird. You know what I mean? Like it's not that fucking weird. It's not weird to take a photo with somebody. It's not weird. Autographs are a little weird for me, but they're not weird. You know what I mean? This is fucking nice.
It's nice.
But the so the only beef that I had with Outbreak at all was not the catering, which was exceptional in my view, but the it's just that everybody did well. So I don't know what a pop is. You know what I'm saying? Like
everyone had one.
People were like, "Oh, your set was great," and I'm like, felt like everybody had a great set. You know what I mean? I don't know how to take a compliment here, but thank you to Outbreak for having us. It was exceptionally cool. Everybody popped. Even the videos that you see that are like, "Oh, this didn't pop," in the room it popped more than you think. You know what I mean? Like, it was fucking really high energy for
everybody.
Even bands that are not high energy bands.
Yeah.
Yo, so some of your tour, I mean, honestly, I heard you guys all did really well. Like the Angel Dust, Drug Church, Anxious thing went well. Looks like you all got on really well. I think I saw Grady from Anxious singing Soul Vice with Angel Dust. That's a cool energy. Were all the shows lit, or could you feel some circling a fest energy?
Oh, I mean, I was shocked that ours were as lit as they were, because everybody, I know you know this to our longtime listeners, but if you're somebody that heard that I was talking about you and you're dipping in for that purpose and you fast forwarded to this part, if I ever talk about people's numbers obliquely, you know, I'm not trying to put anybody on fucking Front Street, but if I'm talking about shows that were hurt, I've played a million hurt shows in my life. I'm not making any judgment on you at all.
You've made life decisions based on playing hurt shows, and it wasn't quitting music.
Yeah, 100%. So I don't begrudge, and I'll play more hurt shows in life. That's the nature 100%. Of the thing. So, just to get that out of the way. Yeah. There was a couple of promoters who were a little frank about some of the woes because, you know, like a Drug Church was fortunate enough to have a record come out recently enough that we're still riding on a high. This was our first time coming to the UK on that. And so our shows were strong, frankly, not as strong as they would be, had the festival not happened. Right. I think that that's clear. That's very obvious. There was rooms that we sold out, but they were supposed to be in bigger rooms originally. And I don't know if we ever would have sold out some of those very big rooms that we were slotted to be in, even best case scenario. Some of those rooms seemed a little ambitious, but, I will say that yes, the festival had an impact for sure. And for some of the, smaller bands or bands that don't get to the UK often enough to have kind of a touring history.
Right.
I think that some of them were, they were pained, you know, but shout out to the promoters. I think in some places people could have communicated better, but there's only so much you can do. It's not egos in hardcore typically, but they're I mean, it's money woes. Like, okay, if two shows are going on in the same town the same night, it feels intuitive to link those shows. Until you realize that you've got like a 7-band fucking immutable package. You can't do shit about it. You realize you didn't really help anybody's money situation. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, technically the show is bigger, but it's like more people attended, I guess, but it's kind of like in its own way, a misery. So, everybody was doing their best. It felt like, I don't know. I was really impressed with our shows because I knew how some other shows were going.
I was surprised at how many bands like circled the country. To me, you think like if I played Friday, Saturday, I'm in fucking Belgium somewhere.
Yeah. In my view, no disrespect to our booking agent, who I think is a very brilliant lady. I think that this one was probably, like, everybody touring the UK was probably not that well advised, but the flip side, Tom, is that Europe is just as packed out right now. Europe had like you know, like fucking three festivals in the last 3 weeks. So like,
yeah,
there's no way to win.
But if you're not playing those festivals and you're like, well, you know, I haven't seen so-and-so. If you see, if I saw, you know, whoever, if I saw Drug Church, you know, in my town and at Outbreak, but they were playing the town over, would I go that third time? No, because I already saw them twice.
Right.
And but if it was like,
the,
I didn't go.
Shout out to the people that did, but yeah.
Yeah. But if you, if it was like, if I saw a Drug Church once at fucking Outbreak, but then they were coming to Paris and I lived in Paris, I'd go see them again.
So Tom, what I think would have been smart, but again, our booking agent's a smart lady, so I assume
they know what they're doing.
Yeah, but what would have made sense to me was to take three bands or four bands even of kind of with some crossover listenership, but enough that it's expansive, and just do four major Euro markets.
Mm. Like Clash of the Titan type stuff.
Yeah. As we discussed, a number of the bands were just doing the UK and not like, I don't think Fiddlehead is doing a fucking Euro festival run. You know what I mean? So it's like everybody probably could have been a little bit smarter, but there's also this other matter, which is crazy. There's these rental companies that, you know, there's rental companies for vans, there's rental companies for backlines. Sometimes they are the same thing. Other times they just have relationships together. Everybody was like, Turnstile was like touring in like two sprinters or whatever. They're clearly a bus band in Europe. Clearly a bus band in the US, and touring the way that they had to, because there's no buses, there's no, I mean, transportation, people.
Hellfest was a week.
Yes. Yo, Hellfest.
Was a full week.
What's the other one? UK one, Glastonbury.
Yeah. Glastonbury in UK. It was Hellfest, is Ypres Fest is fucking. Well, so, yeah, literally Hellfest was like 6 out of 7 days or something.
Yes. So this is all to say that the production guys, like our driver's very plugged in. The guy who rented us the van is a friend of ours. He's plugged in. These are guys that are like, oh yeah, if you didn't get it, like you couldn't live the way Patty lives. You know what I mean? Cause I wait until the last second on everything. I assume everything will work out. I kind of like the action on not knowing, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but on like five bikes.
Yeah. We would have ended up on bikes for sure. If I was
right.
There was a lot. I mean, there's a lot going against bands trying to at this exact moment. This festival thing is crazy, man. Like, it's, you know, for 90% of bands going Outbreak, it would have been worth their time 100% to lose money and just play the festival and go home. Because in terms of establishing, giving you a beachhead here, nothing could be better than 6,000 people seeing you at the fucking festival.
Because 6,000 people aren't seeing you in a week,
right?
In the UK, otherwise.
No, 100%. and the energy also looked great. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Everyone was a home run hitter.
Yeah.
So, big shout out to it. I think there was an element where, you know, Outbreak didn't happen in 2020 and it didn't happen in 2021. So this is a long time coming. There's a lot of people, a lot of energy pent up going into it. Hellfest, I think the same. I don't think it happened last year. There's like, but what that drain out is that it can impact some of the smaller shows. So if you want to support a band, do get that fest, but check them out live when they hit your town or hit close, because it does matter, you know, and it's something I have to remind myself of too, because it's hard, man. It's hard to drag yourself to shows sometimes. I am not the person who says, yo, it's your responsibility to go show. That's not what I'm about. But if you like some shit, even if you're feeling weird, go hit that show. You'll be happy.
You never know. It might be the last time they come through.
That's true.
Bands are weird.
Or maybe, Tom, maybe it's the first time they come through.
Right. And they won't come back to your town if it sucked.
But I'm talking about a band who's coming through New York City for the very first time.
Oh,
coming pretty soon.
Oh wow! I was like, "What the fuck are you talking about?"
Do you? It was. I was so smooth; it just went right over.
That was incredible, and I was just like, "Yeah, you want to give them like you want to make them like remember how great New York was their first time through." And I'm like, and I'm now thinking of like all these like young bands, and I'm like, you know what? You really just got to give them a chance.
Well, I don't think too many people need to give Integrity a chance, but if you haven't heard Integrity, oh. I actually do think. There's a lot of different entry points, and that's something I kind of want to talk about later on a different episode, like the entry points to bands with either long catalogs or long careers. You know what I mean? So a band like Bane, example, didn't put out a ton of records, but was around forever. What's a good entry point? A band like Converge, been around for a long time, has put out a lot of different material. What are the different entry points? Because I think for different listeners, there's different entry points.
Sure.
Integrity fits in that category. Tom, Integrity's yes. playing a show. You were involved. Hit us with the information.
Sure. So Saturday, November 26th, which is the Saturday of Thanksgiving weekend in the United States of America.
If you're in the Metro North, you know you ain't doing shit on that day.
Yeah. And even if you're not
off on Friday.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You're off on Friday. And now you're off Black on Friday. Saturday. Let's right. go. And
Sunday, you drive out, you come see a show. This place has pierogies at the Warsaw in Brooklyn, New York, in Greenpoint, Brooklyn. Mm. So it's got tons of food. Screamers is on the block. You get vegan slices. Doors at 5:30. An all-ages hardcore concert. It's The Fight from Long Island. All Out War from Poughkeepsie. Indecision from Brooklyn. Warthog from Brooklyn, I think, or New York general.
And New Jersey and whatever, yeah.
Oh, are they? Okay. I was thinking about New York kids.
Band. They are. They're a New York band, all the dudes. I think that a couple of the members are OG, like New Brunswick dudes who
got it.
Who were in some pretty good bands prior. I think, I don't want to mess up. I think at least one of them was maybe in Dustheads, a couple other bands. But anyways, oh, okay.
Got it.
Warthog, yeah.
Warthog and headlining for the first time, for the first show, their first show in New York City ever. Integrity, a band that's been around for 35 years. First time playing New York City.
Is that legitimate first time?
Yes, 100,000%.
Yes.
And I cannot tell you how as soon as the show got it announced, everyone became a New York hardcore historian. And I was like, yeah, they're not showing up. I go, do you think this was planned? Do you think this was like set up without everything being totally planned and cool?
Agreed upon, perhaps.
Right. Like everyone's on the same page as, you know, like Katie's like, they're not allowed to play New York. Yeah. No, I know.
Yeah.
Like, everyone became a fucking historian and they're like, they ain't showing up. No, like listen. No, they're definitely yeah.
You remember when that whatever that emo festival, like radio emo festival, was, and people and there was all these people online that were like, I don't trust it. Like they couldn't get these bands to play.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Weekends in a row.
The Live Nation festival. That, like, yeah, the biggest fucking entertainment fucking conglomerate in the world. They're, yeah. They can't do that. They can't get My Chemical Romance 3 days in a row.
They didn't dot the I's on that.
Yeah.
So this is all to say that everybody, look, we won't get into it because
it. If you read the Bridge Nine board, you know the whole fucking story.
Yeah.
Don't know the story, for a long time, Integrity was not welcome in New York City. Or the greater New York City metro area.
Right. And Wild Life Crew either.
Yes. And so now that has changed. We don't know if that's a forever thing or just this one show. But this one show on November 26th is happening in New York City.
It's a pretty big deal. People seem pretty stoked.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty big deal.
It's a big show too, I think. Like even like if you look at it, like that's all awards on second.
Yeah.
Pretty good gig.
Good gig. Everybody, again, we've posted a link before. I'll post another one so you all can get your tickets. Yeah,
TicketWeb. You know what? Like, I'm not the type to do this, but, like, it sold, like, a lot of tickets already.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't. Like, it'll sell out by then easily. It'll sell out probably in advance, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Definitely. And it's a big room. It's a 1,000-cap room, so buy some tickets.
Yo, Tom, that should be really exciting. I had a conversation. So, you know, we're on tour with Angel Dust at the moment. And Justice is the sort of guy who he's had enough problems with other people in his life that he's very considerate of problems that you might have with other people.
Right.
And hardcore can be really messy. And he came to me and he's like, "Hey, listen, man, like I wasn't thinking, you know, somebody's going to be around. Is this going to be a problem for you or whatever?" And I said, "Oh, yo, I've got like a year cap on being mad, you know? And he goes, "Oh shit." He goes, "I think mine's like 10 years. And I think New York hardcore dudes, 30 years. I think the only people that push it further than New York hardcore dudes are Boston hardcore dudes who literally never let go of that bone ever.
I think hardcore kids in general, like they'll be like, "Oh, it's cool." But like the second something goes slightly askew, they're like, "It's back on."
Yeah.
Everyone in the sound of my voice, here's what you need to do. Whatever that image is that's getting in your head, that rent-free person who's making you mad, think of it right now, right? We're visualizing. Everybody close your eyes and visualize. It's on a wall. It's turning into bricks. Imagine that wall blown up. And then it's done. And you got to let it go. You don't need to talk to that person. You don't need to see that person. You don't need to acknowledge that person. You don't even need to ignore. You just avoid, and it's just, they're not there. They don't exist. Poof, alakazam. You're not mad, and you don't need that. So just, that is your every point you all have said is so right. I'm guilty of it myself. The less I have of those beefs, the better my life has been, and the better I feel, and small wrongs become big wrongs when you let them stay in your head for too long.
Not just that.
Oh man, you guys are better people than me.
Well, Tom, I'm gonna go into
self-care, honestly, man. But go ahead.
Yeah, it's a self-serving direction.
Yeah.
And it's not just the self-care aspect. Okay, so let's talk very broadly about a thing. You know, I think one of the gentlemen that I think is involved in an LDB saw him at the festival, was just chatting or whatever. And somebody asked, why can't festivals like Outbreak happen in the U.S.? And look, firstly, let's say this.
Is that Colin?
Firstly, let's say
I'm sorry. I don't know if you're trying to sneak him. Like,
No.
Great dude. Long Island guy.
Yeah. Really nice dude, but okay. Respectfully to This Is Hardcore, respectfully to LDB, respectfully to It's a Sound of Fury. Part of the reason that, Outbreak, there's a number of reasons that Outbreak was able to pull off what they pulled off this festival, which was in my view, the biggest hardcore festival period. Yes. The biggest pure hardcore festival ever. Yep. There's a number of reasons, and some of them are not replicatable in the U.S., but one of the reasons that we probably could power through in the U.S. is that it was mostly U.S. bands playing this thing, and U.S. bands don't have the history to have the beef. Nobody's got beef with Outbreak, you know what I mean? Like, or maybe they do now, but so many fucking bands don't have, like, it's not, I don't know who the fuck put on Outbreak. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know them as people. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I do know, at least in passing, a number of people who put on US Hardcore Fest. And when you know people for decades, sometimes you don't, sometimes you don't always see eye to eye with them. And, and these things can have an outsized impact on the way you conduct yourself. And what I'm trying to say, everybody, is beefs are part of the reason that we don't have nice things, which is,
I don't even think that's it. If I see what you mean, there's definitely part of it. Mm-hmm. But I think, like, in the United States of America are too fucking big.
Okay.
So if you had a centralized, like, imagine if there was, you know, LDB, Sound and Fury, and This Is Hardcore was one thing. Mm-hmm. You'd have 6,000 people. If it was somewhere, dude, you know, anywhere in the UK, you could get to Outbreak in probably 2 hours.
No,
3 hours. It's as if everybody in a country lived in Jersey.
You're not wrong. Yeah, and you're not wrong about that. And another reason is, and look, everyone, I'm not saying anything about anybody's money, but I think that because this festival was supposed to happen a time ago, you know, I think that probably some of these headliners were secured for less money than they would command right now. I also think that they wanted to play a hardcore festival. So Knocked Loose and Turnstile, because they wanted to play this cool hardcore festival that they were probably booked to play 2 years ago or whatever, I think that they were slightly more affordable than they might be otherwise.
Right.
And I think that that's also big, because those two headliners, like, taking nothing away from Touche, but those two headliners, the Friday, Saturday, because they're both experiencing a moment. Like, Touche, that headlined Sunday, is a long time fucking commodity that people in the UK have seen, and they know how they feel about them, and they fucking love them. But Knocked Loose and Turnstile are the two biggest things going.
It's almost undeniable. Those are big things, pulling all that in all at once.
So to do that, to capitalize on exactly that at exactly this moment, is also part of the reason that this popped in such a wild way.
I would go as far as saying, Pat, did you go to Hellfest, the US Hellfest, in like 2002?
I went to
the one that was first one that was outside.
Yes. I went to every one, I think, that actually had the Hellfest name, not the Syracuse.
Right,
name,
right.
Whatever the original name was.
That was one of the bigger ones. And I feel like there was like 4,000 people there.
Yeah, there probably were.
I remember hearing always somewhere in the 4,000 to 5,000 range.
Right. Yeah, and that was like literally like, I mean, the big thing was, it was Hatebreed right as Perseverance came out, like them coming back to hardcore, which was like fucking ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But like the other nights, it was like Shai Hulud and Dillinger. So, I mean, it wasn't like, you know, I feel like it's feasible, but I think it's, the country is so kind of far apart and like.
Well, Tom, you're nailing something that's not wrong. And I did a little research to support that, actually. And this is kind of a crazy thing. There's two parts. I want to get to that, the part thing that supports yours. But first, capacity is a thing. Last year's Sound and Fury was headlined by, or last year, last Sound and Fury that happened was headlined by Have Heart and Power Trip.
God.
Sold out in a minute. You know what I mean? The festival itself sold out in, I think, 6 minutes, literally. Christ. If they could have had a bigger venue, they could have had 5,000 people there.
Easily.
Trust. That said, this year, bigger venue, outdoors, go get your tickets, soundandfury.la, I believe. Part two, you're not wrong about that. And population density really, really, really matters. UK, not very big, right? We all know that. Not a huge place. Comparable to a larger US state, but not as big as the largest. Tom, what, just guess, we're going to talk about the US first. California, population of Los Angeles County, guess.
Los Angeles County is, I guess, like 6 million?
10 million. Jeez. Orange County, 3 million. San Diego County, a little over 3 million. So we're up to about 16 million.
Right, I'll do Ventura 2 hours
County.
Of each other.
Yeah, and I'll do Ventura County. That's another million. Okay, cool. The overall population of California is somewhere around 40 million, I believe. What is the population of the UK?
Probably 6 million.
How much?
I would say 6 million.
13.
Okay. Patrick, what would you say?
13.
What if I told you it was 67 million people?
Holy shit.
What?
Population of California is 39 million. Population of the United Kingdom in 2020 is 67.22.
Is that in pounds, though? Is that pounds or is that
Europe? I know. Let's see this.
67 million people?
Mm-hmm.
Although when you hear, I watched that Oasis documentary and they were like,
England is 56 million of that. Scotland 5, Wales 3, Northern Ireland 1.8. So that brings us to a total of 67 mil.
Well, wild, yeah, okay.
Right. And like, here's the thing. I haven't been all across England. I've only been to London. I was only there once, but I was there for 10 days, whatever. Big city feels populated, but it doesn't feel insane. And it also feels like once you get out of it, you know, I did the train ride out. We did the train to Paris and whatever. It feels like you get in the countryside. They got some space. You know what I mean? So when I hear that population, I'm amazed. That plays a factor as well because, you know, Patrick, you just spent a lot of time there. What's the northernmost point you played in London or in England? Or in the UK.
Yeah, I was going to say UK. I got myself in trouble referring to Wales as England.
You can't do that.
I thought I was in real trouble.
It's a different country.
Glasgow, right?
Glasgow. Yes, you're correct.
Okay, so Glasgow to London is car ride? It's a 6-hour and 51-minute car ride. What the F, guys? Just so everybody knows, a lot of people be living there. I looking at that, and you guys know I'm a nerd about this stuff, that blew my mind. I had no idea.
Oh, I mean, listen, I feel like I could walk this fucking country. Like, it's small as hell.
Yeah, I mean, even like Belgium's an 8-hour drive away from Manchester.
Oh yeah, I mean, people
like with ferries and shit. I'm sure, whatever.
It's not just that; it's flights. Like there was a couple from Hungary that came just for our show in wherever the fuck we were the other day, like Bristol or whatever. And like, I mean, that's just because you can hop on a flight for like probably $80 each,
right?
I mean, so yeah, it's yes. America's size is working against it.
I mean, I think it's good. That's what I always think about when people are like, why aren't we storming the fucking White House? Like they storm in wherever in Peru or all these places that are showing unrest. It's like, dude, they all live together. Like if everything, like if we could get everyone to agree on like a certain spot to go to, we could do that. But like the country's so spread apart. It's to our own,
you know, our
own disadvantage.
The biggest hardcore fest was within a 6-hour drive of everyone who lived in this country, every hardcore kid, a lot of people would figure it out. You know what I mean? So that's why there are several of these things and why they all happen in different spots. So,
but I bet you if you put together all the numbers, it'd be close to that one.
Yeah.
If not more.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. I think we're trying to keep it a tight one today.
Yeah, I apologize. I'm sure that I could ply my driver and roommate by talking about bands like Prowler and whatever the fucking these London bands that
Renounced. We can talk about Renounced.
We can talk about Renounced. I think Renounced is after his time, though. I don't know.
That was 2012.
But yes, 2012. It doesn't impact him. But
so we shouted out some new stuff. I want to shout out and it. We've been talking about them. I think they're about to be everybody's favorite hardcore band.
Yeah, I agree with that. Because listen, it's not just cute music videos. They got the songs.
Oh, the tracks. So Unpleasant Living, the record release is in July 22nd. So that's kind of coming up. Lineup is Loud Boys, Soul Blind, Gel, Striking Distance, and End It. I think I'm going.
That's I think I'm wild. Going too, actually.
Are you nice? You can see some people in Baltimore. And then the next day, they're playing Richmond with Steel Nation, Richmond Vampire.
I love Steel Nation. Steel Nation completely underrated. Go on.
Live It Down, Naysayer, shout out to Naysayer, End It, Crown of Thorns, and Burn.
Wow.
It's a good little weekend.
It's a good little weekend. So if for some reason you have not rocked with End It yet, we talked about them before. I think they might have ended up on a, maybe not a listening party, but one of our radio things. We've talked about it. It's hot. I'm just saying, order that record. Nobody paying us for this. We don't even know those folks. The record's great. We just think it's great. So everybody go check it out. Shout out to Flatspot for putting that record out. They've been doing some cool shit. And this record should be a candidate for best hardcore record of the year. No question. Mm.
Totally agree. Totally agree. Yeah. And then July 28th.
Mm.
July Los 28th. Angeles. We're coming back to Cali.
Patrick, before we go, let's close the episode with you doing your favorite 7 seconds quote about Los Angeles.
Well, my favorite 7 seconds quote is something that I have with you, trust.
Well, do your favorite 7 seconds live show quote about Los Angeles.
Oh, I don't. What is it?
Dude, are you serious? Hello, yeah. LA. Come on.
Hello, LA. Listen, whenever you
put You did well earlier with the Boise on top. I was thinking you were going to hit 2 for 2. You're only batting .500. You still
nobody ever. It's impossible. I'm not like quick on my feet. This is why, like, when I watch stand up dudes who are really good, I'm always like, yo, people don't even get what this is. Like, your brain has to be operating so fucking fast, and mine does not.
If our live show sells out fast enough, we will set up the after show karaoke.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
And that is something y'all can trust. Good night.
Good night.